Welcome to the Infrastructure Show. I'm your host, Professor Joseph Schoeffer of Northwestern University. The Infrastructure Show is designed to present to listeners the reality of America's infrastructure, its condition, why it is the way it is, and what can be done about it. We gratefully acknowledge contributions to sustain the Infrastructure Show from Dr. Robert Peskin, Dr. Raymond Ellis, and Andrea and Ron DeFeo. The Tennessee Valley Authority, or TVA, is the largest public power company. It also manages the nation's fifth largest river to control flooding, assure navigability, provide recreational opportunities, and protect the environment across seven states. Created in 1933 to combat the effects of the Depression by providing jobs, energy, economic development, and security to the region, TVA lives on in its ninth decade as a self-sustaining resource. To learn more about the TVA as an enduring infrastructure project, we've invited Pat Ezel, who is Senior Program Manager and Resident Historian for TVA, to talk with us this morning. Pat has authored a number of articles and two books on TVA history, and she also hosts the social media and video series highlighting the TVA region. Pat, I am so pleased to be talking with you this morning.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me on. One of my favorite things to do is talk about the history of TVA. So, again, thanks for inviting me.
Well, that's why you're here. So, first of all, we talk about the region. What is the TVA region?
Well, the TVA region includes almost all of Tennessee and then parts of the six surrounding states there. So, you have, a little bit of you have Southwest Virginia, a little bit of Western North Carolina, a little bit of North Georgia, and then you have North Alabama, a little bit of that North Mississippi, and then you come on up and you have Kentucky. I think I've named all the states there.
So is it really defined based on the watershed, based on the river network?
Yes. That was the whole purpose, was to, improve that Tennessee River watershed when TVA was created. And so that is the main channel and the tributaries that run into the Tennessee River.
So can you give us a kind of a high-level overview of the various functions of TVA today?
Well, it's funny. When TVA was created in 1933, there's the preamble to the TVA Act, and if you'll indulge me, let me just read this to you. TVA was created to improve the navigability and to provide for the flood control of the Tennessee River, to provide for reforestation and the proper use of marginal lands in the Tennessee Valley, to provide for agricultural and industrial development of said valley, to provide for the national defense, and for other purposes. And so, the things that were called out there, navigation, flood control, we certainly continue to do that today. Conservation is very important, the proper use of marginal lands, agricultural and industrial development. Certainly economic development is one of the things that we do. And basically you can take this little paragraph and you can boil it down to energy, environmental stewardship, and economic development to improve the quality of life of the people in the Tennessee Valley. And that is, honestly, what we continue to do today. While the problems have changed, from what we started with in the 1930s to where we are today, we're still, working within energy, environmental stewardship, and economic development to improve the quality of life of everybody in the valley. So, that is still what TVA does. Our mission really hasn't changed that much over the years. We still, we control that Tennessee River system. We manage, as you mentioned, the Tennessee River and the Tribs. We certainly provide energy, certainly flood control. So all those things are things that continue in the modern era of TVA.
So if I came down to visit you, what are the major infrastructure facilities that you could show me?
Well, if you came down to visit me in Knoxville, Tennessee, the first place I would take you would be to Norris Dam. Norris Dam was the first dam that TVA built. In 1933, we acquired Wilson Dam, which is in North Alabama. We acquired those facilities that were built for World War One, and had sat idle through the 1920s, and in 1933, they were part of the TVA Act. So we acquired those facilities, but the first dam that TVA workers actually built was Norris, which sits on the Clinch River in Upper East Tennessee, about 30 miles above Knoxville. I would take you there because Norris really kind of shows you what TVA wanted to project to the public. And so when you go to visit Norris, what you see is a spectacular dam, a monumental dam planned out specifically to the T, because as you go to the access road to Norris, one of the great things about it is that as you're driving up, the road curves just slightly, and then the vista opens up for you to see that magnificent dam. And that was all planned by TVA's chief architect and Roland Vonk. And, part of that is TVA was a cutting-edge experimental agency of the New Deal. We were very progressive, and that was something, that idea of progressivism and uniqueness, something different. TVA wanted that portrayed in every sense of the word. So what we were doing with agriculture, what we were doing with building these dams, that even trickled down to the architectural style. We went from kind of a neoclassical was what was being built at the time to something that's called streamlined, modern, very smooth, very, lots of concrete, smooth concrete, aluminum, very different style, very curvilinear, very...
So I think what you're saying is that the image, that the picture that was presented was a part of the presence and a part of a major feature of TVA facilities.
Yes, thank you. And you can certainly see that in the architectural features of Norris. So Norris was the first dam, and again, it's on a tributary. And then I would take you down, because you're in the Knoxville region, we'd go and look at a main river dam. So Norris is considered a high dam because it's on the tribs, and many of our high dams are located on the tributaries. For example, Fontana, that was built during World War II in western North Carolina, is the tallest dam east of the Mississippi. But then I would take you to one of our main river dams. Fort Loudoun is the one closest to the area. TVA built 8 dams on the main stem of the Tennessee River, and those are long linear dams that go across the river, and that is mainly for flood control, for navigation purposes. The river maintains a pretty consistent channel depth. It's in those tributary areas with those high dams that you have that flood control storage. So, those are kind of the two types of dams we have, and I would show you both of those. We do have 9 dams on the stem, but like I said, we acquired Wilson and we built the 8 other ones.
So is there a lot of barge traffic on the water network there?
There is a lot of barge traffic. The navigation system was completed in 1945. So before then, you could not travel the entire length of the Tennessee River. That's 652 miles from Knoxville to Paducah, Kentucky. You could travel sections, but there were river hazards that really impeded river traffic. And in 1933, you had about 940,000 tons of freight traffic on the Tennessee. And then in 1945, that goes up to about 2 million tons, once the channel is completed. And today, there's a figure of around 50.5 million freight tons of traffic on the Tennessee River.
Primarily agricultural products?
No, not primarily. That's part of it, but there's a whole host of items. Certainly chemicals are part of that, and there's a gamut of products that are transported on the Tennessee.
I'm a little bit challenged in terms of my geographic knowledge, but I'm thinking these rivers are flowing north to the Ohio and then into the Mississippi. Is that right?
That is correct. So the Tennessee dips down there in North Alabama, and then it flows north to Paducah.
And is there electricity production on all or most of these dams?
Yes, on most of them. There are a couple that do not generate electricity, but by and large, the majority of our dams do generate electricity.
Is TVA in the pumped storage business as well?
Oh, that is an excellent question. Yes, currently we have one pump storage facility, and that is in Raccoon Mountain Pump Storage, and that's just below Chattanooga. And that one was built in the late 70s.
So quite recent in relative terms, relative to the history of TVA.
Oh, absolutely. You know, so TVA, you know, certainly started out with hydro, and then with the post-war growth, we moved quickly into steam plants or fossil plants, and then looking at the, you know, the demand, what they thought the demand was going to be, in the late 60s, they started construction on our first nuclear plant, which was Browns Ferry in North Alabama. That plant started generating electricity in 1974. So that's when we entered into really the nuclear age. And today we have a balanced portfolio that includes, you know, natural gas. It includes everything I mentioned, as well as, you know, some solar, some wind. Clean energy is something that we, you know, certainly provide. So, like I said, we do have a portfolio, a balanced portfolio, so that we can, you know, be resilient, reliable, providing power for, you know, 10 million people in the Tennessee Valley, and that, you know, also the businesses, the schools, the hospitals, everything here.
So are the revenues from power sales sufficient to support the operation?
Yes. I believe it was 1959 with the Self-Financing Act. Our power side began to self-finance itself. And it's not until fiscal year 1999, that was the last year that TVA received any kind of appropriations from the federal government. So we don't receive any kind of federal funding. Everything that we do is paid for by the sale of our electricity. So all of the things such as the management of the Tennessee River, the recreation programs that we have, everything is funded through the sale of electricity.
Has there ever been any pressure to push TVA to go private, to sell assets to private owners?
You know, not really. I mean, there have been things that pop up throughout history, you know, where that comes up. But I guess the latest was several years ago. There was a report that was done. It's available. It's out there in the public. And it pretty much said that the model that we're working under, the public power model, is the best for TVA. You know, and that is something that we are very proud of, that model, the public power model. We have stakeholders, not shareholders. We serve the people of the Tennessee Valley and the United States. That's what our mission was, to serve the people, to improve the quality of life. That's what we were created to do, and that's what we continue to do today.
Did TVA play any special role during the Second World War?
Oh, my gosh. I can talk about that forever. Thank you for asking that. You know, it's interesting because when I first started here, I did not know the extent that TVA was involved in World War II. In 1942, TVA had under construction 12 hydro facilities and one steam plant, the first steam plant that we built. We were tasked to provide emergency power. There's one dam, Douglas Dam, which is close to Sevierville, Tennessee. If anybody's ever been to Dollywood, it's close to that. Douglas Dam was built in 12 months and 17 days. Now, that is amazing to me that you could go from start to finish and have that facility ready to generate electricity. Fontana in Western North Carolina that I mentioned, the construction began on the day that, Douglas closed, and it took 3 years to finish Fontana. But again, both of those dams were providing electricity to War Industries, and I will point out, Alcoa, the aluminum company, was getting a lot of our electricity, as was Oak Ridge, the Manhattan Project at the time. So in 1945, 75% of all the electricity that TVA was producing went to the war effort. Down in Muscle Shoals, TVA created 60% of the elemental phosphorus that was used for munitions. We were working with different agency with frozen food, especially strawberries. We were working with the demountable houses. TVA created demountable houses, and some of those were used at the Hanford site in Washington. These two at our dams construction plants.
So the authority has been a very significant player in not only economic development for the region, but in terms of overall defense effort for the nation.
Oh, yeah. And you know, we did, there's a great story about the mapping. I mean, the people, we mapped over 500,000 square miles of foreign territory for the military. And, you know, folks, it was so secretive that, you know, we have photos of that, but they were all staged after the war. They couldn't take any photos, or a lot of times they didn't even know what they were mapping. It was so secretive.
So the mapping function was done by TVA?
Yes. Yes, we had a maps and surveys unit. And in fact, they because of a lot of the men going to war, they hired a lot of women who were, you know, in college. Some folks were majoring in math and others in different things. But, you know, just like the story of women coming in and industries and factories during World War II, the same thing happened at TVA. We did have women come in and do some of the work as the men went off to war. And a lot of the women came into that maps and surveys unit.
So that sounds like another story that maybe we should pursue at some point in time. Very interesting. So do you feel, does the evidence show that TVA is able to keep up with aging infrastructure and responding to current needs to keep the facilities in a state of good repair?
Yes. I mean, we have a very robust dam safety program, and as well as, you know, looking at all the types of facilities that we have that produce the different types, you know, the different types of facilities such as the fossil and the gas and hydro, but we do have a robust dam safety program where they check these facilities, and they are on top of what needs to be done to keep these in the shape that they need to be in, you know, to keep the electricity generating.
TVA has had a good reason to celebrate its 90th decade, and it sounds like you're going to be around for a while for all the things that the organization is doing for power generation and protection of the waterways and the environment. Pat, I appreciate you giving me an incentive to get on the road and come down and visit. I hope I can meet you when I do, but I thank you for spending the time with us this morning, and I look forward, maybe you'll send us a picture of that vista of the Norris Dam that we can post next to this interview so people can enjoy it as well.
I would love to.
Very good. Thank you very much for talking with us this morning.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. So long.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to The Infrastructure Show. If you enjoyed the conversation as much as we did, please subscribe to our podcast and encourage your friends to join us too. The Infrastructure Show is recorded at the Studio Media Recording Company in Evanston, Illinois, under the direction of Scott Steinman, recording engineer with a commitment to great sound. Our producer is Marion Sowers, a journalist with a passion for infrastructure. And I am Professor Joseph Schoeffer. Few people are more curious about infrastructure than I am.